Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior. Amen. Listen again for that Old Testament lesson. Familiar words. Listen closely. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." This is God's word in Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed. So what does Christmas, birthdays, and anniversaries have in common? Any? Interactive portion of the sermon.
Celebration.
Celebration, yep. Anything else? Giving gifts. Right? Christmas presents, gotta have Christmas presents, birthday, cake, but candles, and then also we gotta have birthday presents, right? Anniversaries. You better not forget, guys. Right? Oh, there's other festivals or celebrations, too, that we sometimes will give presents for. Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, some of those other ones, you know. But I think what's really cool is when you give or get a gift just because. No set kind of, you know, special day on the calendar or something like that. But just because you wanted to. It was a spur-of-the-moment kind of thing, and you thought of this person, and you just wanted to reach out to them with this special gift, to show them you were thinking about them, that you care about them. Doesn't that mean a whole lot more? Not only to you, but also to the person who gets it, because it came from the heart. That's kind of like what God is saying to Moses and Aaron in the words of our text for today. I say kind of, almost, because here's the thing. You know very well that our God never, and that's with all capital letters, God never in anything, and that's in all capital letters too, God never in anything does any such thing on the spur of the moment. Or just because. Or because he felt like it. No, our God is one who always does everything perfectly and purposefully. And today, these familiar words, "The Lord bless you and keep you," and those come from no less than the one true God who had delivered the people of Israel from Egypt, the one whose name is so important and so special to them, the one who in fact is above all the idols and gods of the world, who now wants to bless his people. To give them a gift. And that's what God does for us as well. This gift of God is one we can take home with us. His gift consists, first of all, with protecting care, his favoring grace, and his comforting peace. Three blessings, three gifts from the triune God. You know, when you stop and think about it, people of Israel were in pretty bad shape. Left Egypt, where, yes, they were under slavery. That was terrible. But now they're wandering around in the wilderness, in the desert of Arabia. And that in itself was certainly reason for them to wonder, well, You know, is God really watching over us, taking care of us, you know, providing for us? With this, there should be no doubt whatsoever in their minds. Because God wants them to understand that He wants them to know Him and identify themselves by His special name. This name that is super important, especially to the people of the Old Testament. The portion of our text from Numbers chapter 6 starts this way. The Lord said to Moses, and unless you have your Bible open, you're not going to hear it from my lips. Because we've got two words. Well, it's one word, but it's spelled in two ways. That was actually two different titles of God for the Old Testament. This name is spelled with all capital letters in our NIVs and our EHVs translations. That special name of God that set Him apart as the one true and only God. The God who promised a Savior. So think all capital letters, Lord, but then think Savior God. But the fact that this God, the one true God, the Almighty Creator, should even talk to us in the first place? Why should He bother? What are we that He should say anything at all to us? That God should speak to Moses, to Aaron, to the people of Israel, was in itself a huge blessing, a tremendous gift, a special and amazing outpouring of who He is, our gracious Lord and Savior God. Much less what He should say. It's not a curse. He says, in fact, to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Oh boy, talk about people who didn't deserve any kind of blessing from God. It was certainly the people of Israel, right? You remember what they were doing at the foot of Mount Sinai? When Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, they were, oh, he's been up there so long, we don't know if he's going to come back down. And so what do? They tell Aaron to make them a golden calf out of the earrings and all the other things that they had received from leaving Egypt. Can you imagine? Later on, just a few verses after our text, we're told that the people of Israel also griped and complained about their lot in life now because of what they were called on to do. The people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when He heard them, His anger was aroused. The fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. Well, yeah. With all He had already provided for them, and now this kind of response? And then a little later on, we're told Korah and some of the other people who were thinking that they were important rose up against Moses. They complained and opposed Moses and Aaron, said to them, you have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly? As though Moses had done that for himself. It was really a slap in God's face, wasn't it? And these are the people to whom God now chooses to speak and to in fact bestow a blessing? Amazing! Wouldn't you say? Is that any different than you and me? When we too sometimes do the same thing, we gripe and complain about the weather, which is really a slap in God's face because there's no mother that takes care of that. It's God, our Heavenly Father, who governs all things in this universe. And yet we complain when the people of Israel were ones who had to trudge through in the hot, dry, drought, desert, Yeah. Do we have anything to complain about? Or high gas prices, and I have to say, I'm right there with you. When they were concerned about the treads on their sandals and trudging through the sand. Or the high price of food and clothes and living and everything else that we have. And they had nothing. Or anything else that we got gripe and complain about day after day, right? When they just had escaped 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And they had the audacity to complain to God? Do we have that same audacity? I pray not. And then, of course, the fact that God used words. Really? What else would he use? But stop and think about it. Again, why should the Almighty God, who rules all things, be concerned about human beings to address them with words they can understand? Why not some thunder like he did at Mount Sinai? Why not some strange, mysterious, alien static, like scientists are trying to figure out what that is in the universe? Seriously, God speaks to us with words that we can understand, and it's God speaking to us. All of which ought to cause us to fall on our knees in humbled, heartfelt, sincerest thanks and praise, adoration and amazement that the Lord should speak to us at all. And it is the Lord who does that. Again, that special name in the Old Testament that meant Savior God. God's feature name. The one that he used to reveal at the burning bush to Moses, who it is that was calling him to be the deliverer for God's people. Who gave a sermon on his name in Exodus chapter 34. When the Lord came down in a cloud and stood before Moses and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of them who hate me. The Almighty God. The absolutely independent God. He's dependent on no one or nothing. The all-holy, all-knowing, everywhere present God who rules all things now comes and says, I want to bless you. What do you say to that? Except stand in utter awe that this God, the one true God, speaks to us, his blessing, a true, wonderful, genuine gift of God. And then what he says, and how he says it, also boggles the mind. Amazing grace of God. And again, we don't catch this with our English translations. Doesn't matter, NIV, EHV, doesn't matter. It just cannot capture the thing that the Lord actually says. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. We've heard these words over and over every single Sunday almost, haven't we? We know them almost by heart. We expect and assume pastor is going to say them sometime during the service, and we just kind of let them maybe roll off our ears and not really pay much attention to it. But the Lord says to Moses, this is what you are to say to them. The Lord bless you and keep you. And the way that the Lord says this is astounding. And again, we're not going to capture it in our English unless we add a few explanations. What Moses is instructed to say is, the Lord always bless you. The Lord always make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. It's one of those words, word forms in the Hebrew that says it's to happen now and in the future. It's not a one-shot deal. It's an ongoing thing. So the Lord always be blessing you and always be guarding and keeping you. Stop and think about that for a minute. That God would shower His prosperity, His goodness, His happiness, His contentment upon us, spiritually and physically. Well, we know from what James reminds us, every good and perfect gift comes from above, down from the Father of the heavenly lights. That's what God instructs Moses now to tell the people of Israel. That's what God is always doing. We pray that in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? 6 times out of 7, He calls on us to identify those spiritual blessings that come from our Heavenly Father's hand alone and ask for them confident that He will do it. We say amen at the end, don't we? That God would guard and protect us, keep us in His care from all harm and danger to body and soul by the almighty hand of the Lord who loves us and loves to give to us and bless His children. By the way, that's His standard operating procedure. That's why He's always doing this, blessing and keeping us. The Lord goes on, the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. As compared to a frown, or like we heard, the fire from God's face. No, we certainly don't want that, even though that's what we deserve. People of Israel, yeah, we can see that, you know, almost on every page of the Old Testament section where it talks about what was going on in the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. It just blows our mind to think of all the times when they certainly had everything going for them because God was on their side, and yet they didn't deserve a lick of it. But now the Lord says, I'm going to make My face shine upon you and be gracious to you. As one commentator puts it, that's God's continuing smile because of His continuing grace. Oh, how important that is, especially during those times when it seems like all the dark clouds are invading our hearts, our minds, and our lives. But that's not what defines and determines God's attitude toward us. Rather, as Moses is instructed, the Lord always makes His face shine upon you and always is gracious to you. Always. And the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Well, there were times when God wanted to turn His face away from His people, when they disregarded, rejected, and turned away from Him towards all the other gods and idols that they could concoct in their own little minds. But God says, now I'm going to turn My face always toward you. In conscious, determined care about you. And give you peace. That's not just an absence of war, even though we know that we're at war all the time, it seems, with God, right? Because of our sinful nature and Satan's temptations, we're always at loggerheads with God. But He turns His face towards us with this positive attitude of calm and quiet, His state of righteousness, well-being, and wholeness from the Lord for body and soul. It's no wonder this was to be such a special blessing and gift from the Lord. So that, the Lord says to Moses, so they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. When God's people came to worship Him, and then were ready to go on their way home to their tents, the Lord laid on them His name for a blessing and gift to you, to them. With this promise, I will bless you. And again, one of the things that we don't recognize in this is that it's all written in poetry. You and I don't operate in poetry. We just talk, you know, in our common, everyday, ordinary speech. Poetry is that highest form of communication, especially for the people of Israel. Hebrew is known for its eloquence and amazing connections in poetry. And that's what all of this is. To make it ultimately memorable. Something that they could review and relate to every day of their lives. And it would stick with them all the way through. Effective, powerful, and promised. Their record of sins was long. Yet the Lord remained graciously inclined to these people because He had promised a Savior to all the world through them. That promise is the key to His grace. The blessing of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, is Christ. He, Christ, is the smile of God toward every sinner. Because Jesus has suffered the penalty for all sin, God smiles on the world. As He has especially smiled on you and me. Having placed His name on us, much like a mother will do, sending her child off to kindergarten for the first time, and maybe writes on the label of not only her son or daughter's clothes, but everything else that he or she is taking along with them, to make sure this is what belongs to my child, that's what God has done with us. At our baptism, He placed His name on us so that we know we belong to Him. And here's the gift He gives. Take it home with you today. Take it everywhere you go. The knowledge that the Lord is always blessing you and always keeping you. The Lord is always making His face shine upon you and being gracious to you. The Lord is always turning His face towards you and giving you peace. You cannot take that for granted. That's the ultimate gift of your giver God. For you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Amen.